Make a commitment to the Lord. Tell him you belong to him. You are his. You are his. Talk to him now. Men belong to different spirits. They are ruled, they are regulated by different appetites, which are gateways for the control of different spirits. But you are operated only by the Holy Ghost. So go ahead and tell him. Your spirit, your soul, your body, your circumstances, your resources, they all belong to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, because with us you find a generation that is completely sold out to you, even as we live to glorify your name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight again. It's good to see you. There are lots of things I want to share with us tonight. We are on spiritual foundations, and tonight we are stepping into part 5 of the series, and I'm going to teach us on a very important subject tonight, the subject of the new creation. Many times people don't know how they ought to see themselves. There are many vistas, there are many spectrums through which people look at themselves. And the perspective you have of yourself is what defines your experience as a man. And so it's important for believers to be taught how they ought to see themselves. Because the moment you got born again, you are only permitted to see yourself how God sees you. Any other way you see yourself is wrong. And because the way you see yourself is wrong, your experiences will be wrong. The outcome of your life will be wrong. For example, before I delve into the subject tonight, God sees you as his righteousness. The moment you gave your heart to Christ, God begins to immediately see you as his righteousness. Whether you will ever live a righteous life will begin from you seeing yourself how God sees you. Because the day you gave your heart to Christ, you still lie, some still fornicate, some murder on the day they give their hearts to Christ. But everything they do notwithstanding, God sees them from that day as his righteousness. For these kinds of people with their evil heart, with their evil mind, to begin to live according to God's righteous standard, they must first of all see themselves how God sees them, so that their lives, the trajectory of their life, will begin to follow the path that God has preordained. If they don't see themselves how God sees them, they will never live a righteous life. They will cry, they will weep, they will beg, but they will remain unrighteous in their experiences. So God has brought us a structural teaching syllabus by reason of the dealings of the fathers to help us look at ourselves from scriptures, how God sees us. As we accept it and begin to see ourselves accordingly, we will discover that the work of the Holy Spirit and the impact of the scripture on our lives will begin to move on a cruise boat, and our experiences will begin to align gradually the way God sees us until we become experientially consistent with the legal perspective of God. This is why this subject is very important. I can tell you the reason a large number of Christians are struggling today is because they've never for once seen themselves how God sees them. And so they struggle to live in experience how they ought to live, and they can't. So the subject of the new creation fundamentally helps the believer to begin to see himself how God sees him. And beginning to see himself like that, it becomes easy for him to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and cooperate with the Word so that he is transformed. Remember what we taught last week. Your salvation impacts your spirit, it impacts your soul, it impacts your body. The impact of salvation on your spirit is called regeneration. The impact of salvation on your soul is called transformation. The impact of salvation on your body is called transubstantiation. Transubstantiation will happen at the rapture. Transformation is an ongoing process, but regeneration is an instant process. The moment regeneration took place, God began to see you from a completely different paradigm.
You will only flow in transformation if you accept the provision of regeneration. And then the Holy Ghost and the Word begins to help you. So we want to look at the new creation realities this evening and begin to see ourselves how God sees us. I want to believe that a good number of us here are not yet what the things I'll be sharing today. We are not yet there. But whether you will get here or not will depend on your understanding this, accepting this, and taking this as your position. Having accepted it, you now begin to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, cooperate with the Word until you arrive here. Praise the name of the Lord. However, before I delve into the subject of the new creation, in the first 15 minutes, I want to complete the syllabus of salvation. Then I will enter the new creation. I wanted to leave it, but the Holy Ghost warned me, if you dare leave it, you are in trouble. I don't know who needs to hear this. So there are three more things I will talk about. I will just read the scriptures and the Holy Ghost will give us understanding. Praise the Lord. So the first thing we'll look at tonight is the assurance of salvation. The second thing we'll look at tonight is how you know you are born again. And the third thing we'll look at tonight are the oppositions of salvation. When we look at these three things in the next 15 minutes, then we'll begin our teaching proper tonight, which is the new creation. It's important for a believer to have an assurance, an absolute assurance that he is born again, that he is part of God's family, and that if the rapture were to take place now, he will be with God. But for you to walk in this assurance, you have to look at what the Bible provides. Because if you don't know it, you may have assurance today because you went on a retreat. And next week you are not on a retreat and you don't sense the energy of God's Spirit so strong and your assurance level goes down. And when that begins to happen, your life fluctuates. Today you are up, tomorrow you are down, next tomorrow you are up, you are down. That's not how the Christian faith should be like. The Bible said the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So your life is supposed to be upward and forward only. But for this to happen, there are sets of assurance you must have as a believer. Praise the name of the Lord. The first assurance a believer must have is the assurance of faith. This is an internal operation of the Spirit. Remember, I told us last week, from Romans chapter 12 verse 3, that when we gave our hearts to Christ, God credited faith into our spirit man. So there is an operation of God within your spirit that makes you know, as you know your name, that today you belong to God. You may not be able to explain it, but you cannot deny it. That you know that something has changed in your life and that God loves you and God is at peace with you. That economy of God is an economy of faith, and the Holy Ghost credits it into your spirit the moment you give your heart to Christ. That's why I told us last week, you are not trying to believe God. You are a believer. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 verse 22 quickly. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22. You will see the assurance of faith. Of course, you have already seen Romans chapter 12 verse 3. It said, unto everyone is dealt the measure of faith. So everybody who gives his heart to Christ knows that he's born again. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So there is an assurance of faith that everyone needs to have. Now, that assurance of faith has an operational modality. The operational modality of that assurance is that something in your spirit begins to draw you to God. Before now, you didn't want to come to church. Before now, you didn't come to where people gather. But the moment that thing in you begins to draw you to God, there is a name it's called in the spirit. It's called the assurance of faith. When that thing happens in your spirit, man, it draws you to God. This is why on your own, you give your resources to God. You don't give your money to God because you were brainwashed. The people of the world assume people are brainwashed. That's why they give. It's a lie. It took effort for you to get the little you have. There is nothing anybody will tell you that will make you drop your last card. You are not daft. You are an intelligent being. For you to drop your money, for you to commit your time to God, there is something happening on your inside that you can't stop. It's called the assurance of faith. It draws you to God. When a man is born again, that thing is kindled in his spirit man. That thing begins to draw him to God. That thing makes him give his time. It makes him give his money. Many times you give and you are crying. How many of you have been there before? Many times you come to God's presence, you know you are not supposed to be here. You have many things to do, but you can't go back. There is something working on your inside you cannot deny. When next the devil comes to you and tell you, are you sure you are born again? Ask him, what took me to church? That force that drew you to church is what we call the assurance of faith. When next the devil comes to ask you, are you sure you are born again? Tell him, what makes you feel, what do you think made me give my last card the last time? What makes you think I easily give the money that I labor to make? It's because I know that I belong to God. That is why my resources, my time, my energy is channeled in that direction. There are many people working for us now. We want to pay them. They say, no, please don't pay. We came here to serve. There is something happening to them that they can't explain. It's called the assurance of faith. When it comes, this is how it reveals itself. It draws you to God. And if you are there and that force that pulls you to God is still there, know that your faith is alive. You may not be raising the dead yet, but that something is bringing you to God's presence, it means you are in full faith that you are born again. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. The second assurance we have is called the assurance of hope. It's in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 11. Even the guy who is struggling today, trying to pray, in his heart, somewhere in his heart, he knows that on his own, he's finished. God is his only hope. And he said, and we desire that every one of you, do show the same diligence of the full assurance of hope unto the end. How does the assurance of hope work? There is something in you today that makes you believe that no matter what happens, God will save you. Why do you think when you sin, you didn't run away from God, you rather ran to God? Why do you think when you backslided, you didn't run away from God, you ran to God? I know you went to the place of prayer and you told yourself you are no longer qualified. Why were you praying? You were praying because somewhere, somehow in your heart, you know that if there is any force that can deliver you from this, it's the same God you heard before that can still save you. That thing that makes you come to God as your last resort is one of the assurances of salvation that is in your spirit man. It's called the assurance of hope. The day you gave your heart to Christ, you made him your savior. That's why till tomorrow, in the worst situation, you still turn to God. I know a lot of people who have no relationship with God at all. But the moment the chips are down, they come back to God. And they themselves are telling God, Lord, I know I am not your child. I know I am far away from you, but have mercy. That thing that makes you turn to God is not your brain. It's a spiritual operation. If you lose your salvation, you will not have that hope again. The reason a believer, even if he doesn't have a relationship with God, somewhere, somehow turns to God, is a spiritual technology. It's called the assurance of hope that somewhere within you, you turn to God. I met a man some years ago. The guy was a very wealthy guy and he can't but womanize. And many times he feels so dirty that he doesn't want to come to God. But when the chips are down, he looks for a pastor. He looks for a prophet. And he says, my brother, help me. The reason is because he has money. He has influence. But he knows that somewhere, somehow, Jesus is a savior. The sons of the bond women, no matter what happens, they will never cry to Jesus and say, help me. No matter what happens. That is because they are not born again. That is because they are not saved. Even the atheist today that claims that he is angry with God, that when his father died, where is God? Meet him on the sick bed when he's about to breathe his last. You will see him muster something from somewhere and say, God, if you are there, help me. We call that the assurance of hope. You can't deny it. Unless you are not genuinely born again. If you are genuinely born again, no matter what happens, when the chips are down, you will call upon the name of God, of the Lord. Jonah ran away from God's presence when he found himself in the belly of the whale. Nobody told him. He said, my soul have gone to Hades. I call upon my God from... See, forget. All these people saying they are atheists, they are jokers. They are just self-deceived. when they are in the pit, they will begin to quote scriptures. You will be shocked. You can't deny the assurance of hope unless the circumstances of life have not buffeted you enough. It is in every believer. No one can deny it. The third assurance of salvation is the assurance of understanding. This one is superior to the assurance of hope. This one is a state where a man is that he knows present hour revelation that he is saved and is living according to the demands of a saved person. Colossians chapter 2 verse 2. Colossians chapter 2 verse 2. It said that their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mysteries of God, and to the Father, and to the Christ. So these ones are not just running to God when they have a need. There is a full acknowledgement. They know how the kingdom works. They understand the principles of the kingdom. They understand the fatherhood of God. They understand the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is where you should operate from. Beyond faith, beyond hope, you should function in understanding. That you know the love of God. As you wake up in the morning, you are walking in the love of God. You have a vital relationship with God. This is the realm where those who are actually active Christians operate in. They don't just turn to God when they have a problem. That's what happens to the man functioning at the level of assurance of hope. He only runs to God when the chips are down. The guy who is walking at the level of assurance of faith, that one comes to God's presence, but he doesn't have a vital relationship. Probably he's coming because he's born into a Christian home. Probably he's coming because there's a church nearby. He is coming because somebody invited him. So he comes to God's presence, but he doesn't have a relationship. The guy who has a vital relationship, as he wakes up in the morning, he wakes up with God. He doesn't step out until he has spoken with God. He has a vital relationship with God. So when you function at the level of the assurance of understanding, you have an experiential relationship with God. This is where many believers should be. But unfortunately, very few are here. I can tell you today, many people come to church because church is part of their upbringing. If they live to a place where there is no church, their relationship with God dies. There are many people today who run to God because they need God to do something for them. If they don't have a need, they don't have any relationship with God. But those who function at the level of the assurance of understanding, even if they are in the desert, they have a relationship. An altar will be erected there. They may not see a church building for 1 year, but heaven dwells with them. Because they know what to do. They understand the mysteries of the kingdom. They have a relationship with the Father, and they are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. These are three levels of assurance. The first level brings you to God's presence. The second level makes you call upon the name of the Lord when you are in trouble. And the third level puts you in the place where you have a vital relationship with God. Wherever it is you are operating, you are saved. Any of them where you find yourself, the worst case be the assurance of hope, you are saved. And so don't let any devil deceive you that you have lost your salvation, or because something happened that God is no longer interested in you, or you are no longer in God's family. If you are in trouble and you still call upon the name of the Lord, it means your salvation is intact. Because they that call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible said, they shall be saved. Every time the name of the Lord is called, salvation is provoked. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Is this simple? Yes, it's simple. But we teach it because there are many people today who feel they've gone too far from God to come back. No, they've not. You need to hear truths like this so that you can find your way back to your father's house. This is what happened to the prodigal son. His state was so deteriorated. He took his inheritance and squandered it. He was living with swines. Can I tell you, there are many believers living with swines today. Every day they are in the club. If they are not in the club, they are on pornography. If they are not on pornography, they are on masturbation. When you tell them about God, they say, no, God don't need me anymore. God needs you, and God is still interested in you. And God is still calling you back home. So long as there is assurance of hope, salvation is still intact. No matter how tiny the string is, God can still use you. In fact, the greatest motivation for evangelism is that the worst sinner can become God's greatest man. That there is no hopelessness with God. This is what the assurance of salvation comes to do. Number two, How do I know I'm born again? Let's break it down a bit further. There are two ways to x-ray your born again experience and to validate it. The first is what we call internal evidence, and the second is what we call the external evidence. If all of these evidence are in place, then you know. The first 3 points I made now on the assurance of salvation, is just a broad point. Now I want to separate it so that you can see it in a more clear fashion. So if you are born again, you are going to have two evidences. Number one, internal evidence. Number two, external evidence. What are the internal evidences of salvation? I give you four of them quickly. Number one is joy in and joy of the Lord. A man who is born again has joy flowing in his spirit like a river. He can be in the worst situation, but it will never tamper with his joy, because his life now is an organic reality. Even though the things are not working, he's living happily. I can tell you there are men today who have all the wealth in the world, but they are not happy. There is no joy in their spirit. The reason is because salvation is an organic economy. When it comes into you, no matter what happens around you, it can't take your joy. You are assured every day, every time, that your Redeemer liveth. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10 to 11, I can't read all the scriptures. I'm racing against time. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 to 11. Ah, Jesus, help me. I'll just read one and quote the rest. You go and study it. It says, "For if we, when we were enemies, were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." Go forward. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we were received in the atonement. So things may not be working, but we know that God is for us. And the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? So the assurance alone that God is for us, it causes us to be full of joy at all times. That's why in Romans 14:17, it said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When a man is walking with joy, it's an internal evidence that that man is saved. There are many people today who have happiness, not joy. Happiness is based on circumstances. If I give you money now, you can be excited, so long as you have that money. If I give you a car now, you can be excited. But that same car you received a week ago and you were excited about, if you were driving and the engine knocks, immediately you become upset. Because circumstances fluctuate happiness. But a man who has joy lives above circumstances. It's something that is built on his relationship with God. So things may not be working as at yet. Yet he's full of joy. He said the fig tree might not blossom. The labor of the olive might fail. I mean, everything could be going wrong. He said, but I will joy in the God of my salvation. So the first internal evidence that a man has as a born-again Christian is the joy of the Lord that is in his spirit. This joy sometimes is assurance. It may not be emotional, but there is this assurance you have like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. That's what Nehemiah 8:10 says. He said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So this joy sometimes operates as a kind of strength that nobody can take away. You find somebody where everything has gone down and he stands up as if nothing went wrong. When you see such a man, there's something happening in his spirit. He's not just a strong man. It's an economy of joy. It imparts strength into his spirit man. Nothing happens that takes him down. No matter what is going on, he can still dust himself up, put himself together, and go forward as if nothing ever happened. Such operations are organic operations. Only people who live above earth functions like that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when you find yourself, things go wrong, you are still strong. There's something happening in your spirit. It's called the joy of the Lord. It's your strength. That joy is a sign that you truly believe in something greater than circumstances. That joy is a sign that God is your Ebenezer. You may not know it, but the Bible reveals to us that it's an internal evidence that we are walking in the assurance of our salvation. Number two is peace. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7. John chapter 6 verse 23. Ephesians 2 14. You can read these scriptures. Praise God. There is something that happens to a man who is born again. He is not moved. He doesn't stagger. He is gathered under difficult circumstances. See, things may be going wrong. The natural response will be for him to run helter-skelter, but he keeps his peace. You know, when we're about to start this work, up to 3 days into the inaugural service, there was no money for the things we needed to put together. I came, I told them not to worry, that what we are doing is global, and we will shake the world. They shouldn't worry. My heart, things will be shaking. Things will be moving up and down. I say, calm down. Be at peace. Nothing is going wrong. You know why? Let me tell you why. It's not just because I believe that God will provide. But even if that day, even if we show up on that day and the money is not there, the only thing I'll do is few hours to the meeting, I'll reschedule it. I'm not under pressure to prove any point to anybody. My people knew that up to 1 week, 1 week to the event, they will come up and say this, they will say that. I almost left this venue because I was not, the dealings were not being straightforward. I said, okay, what we'll do is, after the inaugural service, we'll just get somewhere else. In fact, the people who are in charge of NAF Center, NAF Conference Center, around Next Cash and Carry, we're already in communication. They've been blessed by my ministry. They say, come on, man of God. But they, on the second thought, the COVID restriction there is too strong. Else, I would have just moved. If it's 5 people that follow us, that's fine. When we show up here, there is no, we are not trying to prove any point. The peace is there. There is no anxiety. You are not staggered. You are not staggered. You keep your peace. Things are going wrong, you are at peace. Whether it works or it doesn't work, that's not what determines whether you are in faith. When it works, glory to God. If it doesn't work, you move forward as if nothing happened. Whatever people say, that's their business. You are not moved by what they say. If they clap for you, great. If they speak against you, that's their business. You will face what you are doing with so much audacity as if the whole world were watching you. It's because you have peace from above. The peace you walk with is not external. See, there are many people in the world today who have not tapped into this frequency. So when you see them running helter-skelter, it's because of what people will say. When you function based on what people will say, you will lose your throne. That's why King Saul lost his throne. What will the people say? What will the people say? You are not the servant of the people. This work we are doing now, if it fails tomorrow, I will go back and fast for 40 days. When I'm done praying, I will gather myself. I will start again. If you like, when we meet, people should sit at the fence and say, that man failed. That man failed. When I'm coming to church, I will the way I will suit up. You will think this is an overcomer that has never failed in life. Because I will forget the former thing. I will face the new thing God is doing. I will put myself into it and it will prosper. It's an economy. It's called the economy of peace. You are in a relationship, the relationship fails, and you go and hang yourself. You don't know what you have. 5 relationships can fail. You'll still wake up and tell yourself, whoever marries me is lucky. Because I'm a gift to him. I'm a gift. You will not allow those experiences begin to define you. There is an economy you carry that circumstances don't regulate you. It's called the peace of the Holy Spirit. It's a peace. Some people learn it the hard way. Some people learn it by revelation. But whichever way you learn it, make sure you tap into it. It's something in your spirit, man. It's already there. You have not just paid attention to it. When you pay attention to it, then it becomes a weapon in your spirit, man. Praise the name of the Lord. The next economy is the economy of rest. See, these things look similar, but they are different. Why joy imparts strength and confidence. Peace imparts a state of all-round calmness, avoidance of anxiety. then rest brings stability. When you find a man who is not fluctuating, he is walking by an economy. Every believer walks in the economy of rest. He is not just confident because of joy. He is not just calm and gathered because there is no anxiety. He is also stable in what he is doing. That means every day you see him is focused. He is not deterred. He doesn't speak one today, speak another one tomorrow. He doesn't run to where things seem to be walking. You know what the psalmist said? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. Do you know why our world today have no constant allies? Because people are looking for where it's easy. That's why you don't have people of integrity anymore, because there's no rest. It started, it looks as if there was hope in it until they hit a rock. And instead of gathering together to move forward, they run away. But like David, you will encourage yourself in the Lord and tell yourself, even if I'm alone, I will move forward because I have stability in my spirit. See, the young man has so much joy. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Let me read one scripture. You go study the rest at home. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't want to start quoting, because if I start quoting, I will enter inspiration. And I will dwell on one matter for too long. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What it does to a man is that he has focus. He has stability. He's not going in a direction because it's prospering. He's neither turning away from that direction because it's not working. He is going there because that's where God says to go. Whether it works or it doesn't work, he's focused. That's what Paul meant when he said, I have learned how to abound and to abase. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There are many people today, when you see them moving in a certain direction, it's because there is something coming in. The moment that thing stops, they stop. Because they are actually, there's no stability in their spirit. So they never hit a cruise mode on anything. That's why when you look at them, they keep starting numerous things and they never complete one. And for such a people, God can't commit himself to them. Because they will always run away when the chips are down. But a man who has come to rest, there's another economy in his spirit, man. Whether it works or it doesn't work, you will see him doing it with the whole of his heart. Bishop David Odeko told us a story when they were in a lorry. He said sometimes they were in the lorry, they were not so many. God now told him to go to Kaduna. He now left for Kaduna. So after some months of ministry, the things he said were so mind-blowing. So the wife decided to visit this great church that is working in Kaduna. And when the wife came to church, the man of God was preaching and sweating all over. And when he finished, the woman now started gathering chairs, thinking service is about to start. He thought he was praying to begin service. He said, no, service is over. Where are the people? We've had a great service. Are you not seeing them? I'm seeing them in my spirit. You know, when the man was giving charge, praying in the spirit, the wife thought he was preparing his spirit before service would begin. The man prayed, gave exhortation, finished charging, service finished. The wife said, what? Where are we starting? When are we starting service? He said, service is over. Is this the service we've been having that we are hearing reports in Ibadan? Yes. Because some of the people are in the hall. The rest are in my spirit. They have not yet manifested, but they are here. So even when nothing is happening, he was talking like a king. It's not when they have 50,000 people, they start shouting. It's not when they have 50,000 people, they start making declaration. They were making declaration when they were two. They were making declaration when they were five. They were making declarations when they were seven. And you know, Bishop is a very meticulous person. I heard him say, Bishop Aremu is the seventh person that joined Living Faith. He is that conscious and meticulous. Yet, he's not moved by the number. Because he knew where he was going. And he said something that struck my spirit. He said, we are not surprised that we are where we are. He said, we would have been surprised if we are not here. He's too focused on the assignment to fail. When you have rest in your spirit, listen, nothing deters you. People can say whatever they want. You are going where you are going. Nothing can stop you. So, joy gives you confidence. Peace gives you calmness and avoidance of anxiety. Rest gives you stability. You need all these three economy. Everybody who is saved, these things work in his spirit. He may not have tapped into them, but they are there. And the final one is the testimony of a clear conscience. You can't be born again and not have the testimony of a clear conscience. In Acts chapter 24, verse 16, Paul was showing us, you know, there are many believers today who are crooks. It's because they don't tap into this internal economy. Somebody will offend you. He knows he offended you. He knows he should apologize. When he looks at you, he puts his face on one side and he walks away. And acts as if nothing happened. If you are born again, no matter how you frown, your conscience will fight you from inside and say you are wrong. You are wrong. If you don't apologize, you will lose your sleep. It's an internal evidence. You can't hide it. He said, and herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience that is void of offense before God and before man. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19, it says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have shipwrecked their faith. Have you seen people who are wrong? And because they are wrong, suddenly when they see you, they frown. Because they are trying to fight their conscience. They frown and act as if they are right. And if you are bold enough to tell them, but sir, this thing you did is wrong, they will flare. All of that is a caricature. Because their conscience is already telling them they are wrong. Except you are not born again. If you are born again, your conscience is not afraid of you. It will always tell you that this thing you have done is wrong. Unless you fight that conscience until you kill it. Like those who have seared their conscience with a hot iron. But everyone who is properly saved, there is a testimony of a good conscience that is always there. Take that bribe and see what happens to you. As you go home, that money will become a curse. You will carry that money, you will not be able to sleep with it. If you are properly saved, you must return it. Else you will lose your peace. Because your conscience will be a law unto you. Find everybody who is saved. These things are vitally at work in their spirit. And if they are not at work, it means there is a problem. It means there is a problem. You cheat somebody and you look at him in the face and you say you are a Christian. No, you are not. Have you not seen people? They will steal from you and look at you and say, sir, the God that is in your life, that is the God that I follow. Those are demonized. They are demonized. They are not Christians. Those type of people, they are the wolves in sheep clothing. A believer can't do that. If a believer even speaks against you, when he sees you, he can't look at you in the eye. Until he apologizes to you, he can't find his peace. Because his conscience is too real for him to masquerade. But when you find people who can carefully and properly massage their conscience and put it on one side, it means they are beginning to lose their salvation. Praise the name of the Lord. We call all of these internal evidences of salvation. Peace, rest, testimony of a good conscience, and joy. Everyone who is properly saved, they carry this thing every day. You cannot claim you are saved and these things are not at work in you. I thought my conscience was doing well until I got married. You know, when you come out and you say, touch! And somebody falls down. You now say, Lord, your servant is before you. You are joking. What God checks are not the manifestation. A crook can manifest. If you pray in tongues for 4 hours now, you will stir the anointing. Even though your heart is darkened. And you will come out. When I got married, that was when my heart, they put my heart on a slate and they were butchering things out of it. I will be wrong. You don't know how heavy I am, sorry, is. Until you have to tell your partner. When my conscience buffets me and I can't rest, that thing that happened, sorry. This is a criminal. That's why, if you see, the day your wife begins to trust you and believe in you, you have started your walk. Forget about the anointing. Sorry. Forget about it. The Holy Ghost will say, no, it's not like that. For me to turn back again, I will die. But he's fighting to keep my salvation. Because Paul said you can preach and be a castaway. You can cast out devils and show up and say, I know you not. This is why if your salvation is sound, don't judge it by the anointing. Judge your salvation by these parameters. When there is crisis, do you shake? It means your assurance is not in God. When your conscience fights you, how easy do you respond to your conscience? Those are the things that show that you are alive in the spirit. Forget this fake Christianity that is flying about everywhere. You are talking grace, talking anointing. It's a joke. That's why we are callous. The conscience of many people have been seared with a hot iron. You stole money from somebody, you still came back, look at the person in the face and say, my brother. You sat down 5 minutes ago, you gossip somebody, and you come back to him and say, Baba, how far? Ah, my brother, you are dying. In the spirit, you should be in ICU because your conscience is about, it's like when the top cylinder gasket of an engine is burnt. The whole thing is about being burnt. You are dying. These internal evidences of salvation, you must monitor it carefully. Because these are the signs that you are alive in the spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. And then there are external evidences. This is the one charismatic people use. They try to shut the internal evidences and they use the external evidences. So when you say you are not born again, they begin to quote scriptures. I know you know scriptures and you can quote them, but what is the state of your conscience? You can quote scriptures correctly, but if your conscience is dead, you are dead. And no matter how you quote the scriptures, the princes know that you are dead. Because when they come to you, they don't come to your brain. They check your heart. So when you work on the internal evidences, then there are external evidences. And these ones are also good for unreasonable men who want to attack the ordinances of God. The first is the testimony of the word. In 1 John chapter 5. In fact, you would love to read the whole of 1 John, but there's no time. From verse 11 to verse 13, here's what the Bible said. Because if you don't know this, you may not even be aware where you are currently. So the scriptures come to give you a roadmap. You see, and this is the record. That's why it's called the testimony of scripture. Because this is what God is saying. He said, this is the record that God had given unto us eternal life. He said, this life is in the Son. And then he went further. He that had the Son had life. And he that had not the Son had not life. So anybody that has the Son, there is a record of scripture already that person has life. And that means that person is in God and is saved. Verse 13, it said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see that? So he's writing it to them. That means it's possible for you to be saved and not know. It's possible for you to be doing well in God and not be aware. This is why the testimony of scriptures become very important. So when you don't feel like it, the scriptures will tell you, we walk by faith, not by sensory perception. It's not your feelings that validate your position with God. It's what the scriptures say. Do you have those requirements? Yes, if you do, then you are intact with God. Praise the Lord. So we call this the testimony of scriptures. You can find the same in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, verse 2 to 3. You can also find it in John chapter 5, verse 36. John chapter 5, verse 24. The scriptures are replete. In John 5, 24, it said, Jesus was speaking. And he said, whoever believes in me, he said, as the scripture has said, he has passed from death to life. He shall no longer come to condemnation. He has passed from death to life. This is what the scriptures say. So when somebody wants to argue with you, you will go back to the provision of scripture. He will look at you and say, you are finished. He will look at you and say, you are condemned. You say, no. The Bible said, if I believe in the Son of God, it said, I have passed from condemnation to life. This is the scriptural position. You may not feel it, but that's what the Bible says. And if that's what the Bible says, that's what God works with. Praise God. So you need these testimonies in order to keep yourself assured that you are saved. There are lots of people today that have been manipulated. That's why every day you do an altar call, they come out. They've been to 12 crusades, and on these 12 crusades, they've gone out for altar call to receive Jesus Christ again. They have been born again. And they've been born again, and again. And they will yet be born again. So even the day that rapture will sound, they will still be born again. Because the assurance is in how they feel. And there are thousands of people operating like this. Because they don't know that the credibility of your salvation is not based on what you feel. It's not based on how you feel. It's based on what the Bible says. And what did the Bible say? It says, if you believe. So the question is, do you still believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, it said life is still in you. Praise God. So when they preach the gospel, it's not every day you go to receive Jesus again. Yes, you can rededicate your life. You can recommit your life. But to say you are coming to receive eternal life again and again, it's not available like that. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you here have given your heart to Christ again and again and again? And if there is a crusade next week, in fact, some people give their heart to Christ based on who is preaching. If a small evangelist is preaching, they'll say, wow, God is helping him. But if they see Pastor E at table here preaching, they are waiting for him to say, come to the altar now. If it's a big evangelist, they must give their heart to Christ. Unless it's not a big evangelist. It's not the size of the evangelist that. Praise God. So please, this is what the Bible says. I know you are falling to sin. I know you have done something wrong. You don't come to receive Christ again. You rise up and then you build yourself by your relationship with the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God so that you live above that thing. You don't receive God, Jesus. You don't receive eternal life every time you fall. You don't receive eternal life every time you sin. When you have sinned, ask for forgiveness, build your relationship with God by relating closely with the Holy Spirit and by doing business with the Word of God. And you will not fall to that sin again. This altar call going every day, it means you are not sure whether you are saved. And if the devil sees that you keep making altar calls all the time, one of the arrows he will shoot at you is the arrow that if the trumpet sound today, you are finished. If you die today, you are going to hell. And because he says that, you are living in fear every day. And every day of your life, you are trying to prove a point to God. You are trying to show God something. Stop proving a point to God. Just enjoy relationship with him. The same way you don't need to prove a point to your parents. Just enjoy relationship. It's as you are building relationship with God that you become stronger. That you become empowered. If you want to show God that you can live like this or you can do like that, you will fall many times. It's as you are enjoying relationship with him that he strengthens you. And after a while, you will discover, I didn't lie in the last 7 months. I didn't fornicate last year. What is going on? You are beginning to be stronger because your focus is on God. And as you build your relationship with God, you become stronger. I can't tell you that it's strange to me now that somebody is thinking about immorality. And it's not because I had the resolution that I will not. No, I'm just loving Jesus. And as I'm loving Jesus, Jesus chokes my mind so much that I can't think of other things. But if I stood up and said, from today, I will no longer think this, I will no longer do this. The moment you produce a law, you become a slave of that law. Enjoy relationship and just grow. Praise God. But all of that will come if you take what the Bible says about you to be God's position. Number two is the testimony of a Christian life. The second testimony that we are born again or that we are properly saved is the testimony of a Christian life. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 10, in fact, if you read verse 7, it says, my little children, I write unto you. Let's read it. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And then in verse 10, he said, him that is born of God sinneth not, because his seed is in him. That means one of the proof that you are properly born again is that you have built your relationship with God so much that you are now living above the sins and the lust of your generation. You cannot claim you are a Christian and everything the people of the world are doing is what you are doing. That means you are born again, but you have another Lord. Because your lifestyle is a revelation of your Lord. If the world system is your Lord, whether you like it or not, you will leave it out. You are there watching pornography. You are in the club with the people of the world. They are drinking Hennessy. You are drinking Hennessy. They sweet to 3-3. You 3-3-3-3. They sweet to Hero. You say, oh boy, Hero is better than 3-3. 3-3 gives headache. Ah! Take Heineken. If you take Heineken, there's no aldehyde in Heineken. Are you a Christian? I'm not sure. I'm not sure because this your tongue, your test boards. Your test board is like the people of the world. When they say there is a show, you can't sleep again. Hey, not here we die. You are just deceiving yourself. Because he that is born of God, he doeth righteousness. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, no, Titus chapter 2 verse 11, he said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness. Listen, there is something at work within you that you must put your heart to and maximize. You've got to deny ungodly lust. You can't claim you are born again and everything the world system is doing is what you are doing. Where do you belong to? If I go to a beer parlor now, I don't have any space there anymore. I'm too sold out to have a seat there. In fact, if the people see me there, they will start hiding their beer. Because they will know why I came. They will know. And I'm telling you what I've experienced again and again and again. I've entered people's rooms before. And the next thing, they shut the music. Quickly selected their CD place and hid them. Because they know that the government will come with, will resist what they are doing. And we don't hide it. See, we will tell you. We will tell you. They know we will tell them. We are not the people that massage you. We will tell you the way it is. This is the way of death. He said, I looked from the window. I saw a young man who is void of understanding. He said, his feet is on the path of death. He is going to the way of the harlot. And he said, the harlot said to him, come in. I've dressed the bed with rubies. Let's have. He said, that is death. And there are many Christians that are on the path of death. It's so poor how weak we are. I told somebody, doctors who are gynecologists, some of them still live well. And then you see a believer, a pastor, you see somebody say, hey, the way these people dress these days, there's no stamina in the spirit. There's no stamina. The Muslims you will hardly see, these ones don't have life. It's rules and regulations. But there are most of them, I mean, it's normal. You hardly see them drinking. I know there are some who go and hide in Sabon Geri to drink. And where they go to hide to drink is a Christian environment. Imagine, you go to a Muslim place, the place where they go to fornicate and hide and drink is where Christians are. They who don't have life, the law regulate them enough to live a life of sanity. And when they want to live wrongly, they look for where Christians are. I was serving in Kano, and then when Muslims want to drink, they come to Sabon Geri, where Christians are. That's where they can feel free. All the hotels are in Sabon Geri. All the harlots are in Sabon Geri. And when you check, they are Christians. Somebody was telling me he was in Japan, and he left his bag. He carried money in his small, short, little handbag, and forgot it in the taxi. Ordered an Uber and left the money. I'm talking about cash in dollars. He went for a business trip. And when he called the driver back, oh, I'm finished. He checked the stuff where he ordered the Uber just to call in case. But he knows, coming from Nigeria, he knows his money is gone. And when he called the Uber man said, oh, sorry, I've closed. But I left your money in the office. He said, come tomorrow and carry me. He wanted to be sure that it's not scam. Because if it's Nigeria, that office, if you go, you meet kidnappers there. You will call Nathaniel, you will think this is Christian. You are joking. Nathaniel will take you to a forest. And when the Uberman showed up and took him to the office, and they brought the money, not a dollar was taken. And he asked the Uberman, why didn't you take? What happened? The man said, it's beneath us to steal. It's beneath. That's the class of life where they live. It's beneath us. It is an insult on our citizenship to hear that we stole somebody's money. It's beneath us. That's a citizen of Japan. And you say you are a citizen of heaven. And immorality is not beneath you. Lying is not beneath you. Stealing is not beneath you. Maybe your heaven is the second heaven. God is the top. I'm showing you this so that, like Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:27, you will beat your body and bring it under subjection. When your flesh wants to go haywire, you say, shut up. You don't tell me what to do. You don't dictate for me. I dictate for you. It's a testimony. The Bible said in Acts chapter 1 verse 1 concerning Jesus, of all that he both began to do and to teach. Today, preachers are orators. Check their life, you will run away. That's why many times nobody lives close to preachers. When they are living, nobody comes near them. Because if you come close, your faith will die. It's rather they hide somewhere, and when they come out, they frown and walk like this. You will think they are coming from heaven. It's a lie. My faith almost died 7 years ago. We were organizing a crusade. We spent millions. And on the day of the crusade, I showed up thinking that my pastor would be praying, trusting God for mercy. When we entered office, pastor was on chicken and butchery chicken with a chilled glass of wine. 2 hours to crusade. Pastor was having a good time. And when it's time for crusade, pastor will couple up and walk out like a man of the spirit. When we came for that crusade, the moment he mounted the podium, it started raining. He stood up and said, this rain, let's stretch hand and command rain. The rain that beat us that day. See, people run for their lives. Which rain? Do you think telling the rain to stop is posture? You think it's something to snap and put online? It's power. You have not been able to bring your body under subjection. You want to command weather. Say, let's. And that was the second time. Where is Pastor King? He knows one. The other day we had a crusade. They mounted lights around stage and it was outside. All the insects in that area came there. Pastor came and said, insects have intelligence. In the name of Jesus, how these insects go? Which insect? The insect built a mass there. He had to run off the stage and stood on ground. When your life is not consistent, you will make a mockery of your faith. That's why Christians come and 2,000 people gather and say, we will change this government. This government will die. Which what? You told what we, you think is caricature. The testimony of a Christian life is too important. But many believers are fake. We act in a certain way. We want people to perceive us in a certain way. We exaggerate things to appear like that. But there's no power. Because our lives deny what we claim. I have seen things, my brother. Stumbled on pastor, and pastor was on a chilled glass of wine with chicken. And some people gave their last money. Some brought their salaries. Pastor was having a great time. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. Number 3. External evidence. Love for the brethren. If you say you are born again and you don't love the brethren, you are a liar. You are a liar. Our Christianity today is powerless because of the disunity that is among us. The people that will kill you are not outside. Many times it will be safer for you to run away from your brethren. What they will say about you, they will not say it about an unbeliever. Any other person can prosper, not you. The moment you start prospering, your brethren will want to kill you. They can throw you into a pit, they can sell you into slavery, and it will mean nothing to them. That's why our Christianity is powerless. There's no love for the brethren. You will see somebody ministering, and then you will be saying, oh, God bless this person. You don't know what is happening. Those who are in that department, if you know the anger and hatred and reproach that comes out of their spirit for that person, you will be shocked if you are in a shrine. There's no love for one another. And I can tell you this authoritatively. I've been here for a while. Over 12 years ago, we gathered together. Some of us, we were just young applicants. We had nothing. And what we do is that we give for partnership, and then they have this record that at the end of the year, they give you one or two awards just to encourage those who are giving, which is very nice. A man, I saw something that I almost wept. This brother was to pay his school fees and he had nothing. And this guy was one of the most dogged persons in the fellowship. He pleaded with this man, please, he has put some money together. This is what is left. He needed just a little amount to complete it. The man said, he wish he could help. And I say, even the rich sometimes don't have. I was so inspired that, can you imagine? This man humbled himself and said he wish he could help. Only for us to go for leaders meeting 2 hours later. And pastor was talking how that there are a few things they need to do and to update their records. And he knows they are mighty men here. Before pastor said anything, this man that wish he could help stood up and said he will give 500,000. Where did he come out from? Because pastor beat on his ego and said, mighty man. He said, he will give 500,000. And because pastor also knows, every time he tampers with people's ego to get things, from that day, that was when I learned my philosophy of giving. If it's not by revelation or by the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you like, let the whole church stand up and give. I will be the only person to sit down. Because what they do, they will now say, you stand up, how much are you giving? You stand up, how much are you giving? So even if your ego, you will go and carry your house rent. If not revelation, the Holy Ghost is not leading you so that you will not be left out. A brother, a young boy, you see this boy every day, he is the most dogged person in church. Just a little money to complete school fees. I wish I had. I don't. And 2 hours later, you have 500,000. Because pastor called you mighty man and they will update your record. So at the end of the year, when they are honoring partners, you will be one of the top partners. And then you will walk up and collect award. Meanwhile, you have lost all your reward in heaven. There's no love for the brethren. Most of the things we do are fake. Why do you think people can see people stranded and it means nothing to them? Meanwhile, all of us lifted holy hands in church 5 minutes ago. And then you are driving alone. You are not even moved to, are you going my direction? It doesn't even occur to you. My brother. It's a burden. The Bible said, you can't claim to love God that you don't see when you don't love your brother that you see. That means that your love for God is fake. Because the way God checks your love for him is through the way you love those you see. And this is how our motivations are purified. Because if it's truly God, it will not be about the applause. If it's truly God. I'm not discouraging anybody from giving to the Lord by revelation, by leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm not discouraging. But the motive must be pure. It should come out of compassion. It will come out of love. Because at the end of the day, it's your motive that God judges, not the amount. There's no love amongst us. That's why there's so much disunity. When two people have problem, the next thing that happens is the first one condemns the other one before everybody, so that everybody will see him as the devil. And the second one condemns this one before everybody. Everybody sees him as the devil. This is why heritages are lost in the body of Christ. I can tell you, it's one of the reasons why the body of Christ grows weaker and weaker. Because when a generation is born, sometimes God ordains captains. And when they start, you'll discover that there will be some level of synergy at some point. As they begin to grow, and influence begins to come. Money begins to come. After a while, issues come in. And when these ties begin to break, you will see a man who is supposed to preach Christ will suddenly tweak things around to paint somebody black. And so a whole generation who follows him that should receive from that other person will never be able to receive from him again, because they painted him black to that generation. And this one will do the same to the other person. So you see fracas in the body of Christ. The things we are supposed to inherit from many people, we can't inherit them. Have you seen the body of Christ today? Those who follow this block, they have no connection with those who are in the other block. Meanwhile, this block may have character. This other block have anointing. So you see a whole generation of Christians with very good character, but they are dying of sickness. Because while they were rising, the captain of that block made them to see that this one who is anointed is not a man of God. And so this one who is anointed carries the power of God. And because they've seen him not to be a man of God, they dishonor him, and the grace that God gave him cannot rub off on them. 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line, that generation is dying of sickness. Nobody knows how to activate the anointing. And then they come to church, everybody is living a holy life, but they are all dying. Because the man that carries the oracles of healing, they have already ostracized him. The one who carries the oracle of the prophetic, they have ostracized him. And then you see them come to church, they are trying to give word of knowledge. All of them is wrong. Because the guy who carried it, they despised him. Now they have grown, they have seen the need for the prophetic, but they can't manifest it. Because the person who has it, they have disconnected him. And so you see people struggling, trying to, this person, is your name Peter? I say, no, I'm Nathaniel. He say, okay, come. They'll take the mic off their mouth. If only there was love, all of us would have been manifesting everything. Because the one who has the prophetic, you take a measure of it. The one who has the healing anointing, you take a measure of it. But because there's no love, we disconnect from each other, and then we create enmity down the line. And the next generation suffers. And so the people who follow B cannot enjoy the heritage that is with A. The people who follow A cannot enjoy the heritage that is with B. 10 years later, what is already available in the body, thousands of people are dying from it. Because of a lack of love. One of the testimonies of true salvation is the love for the brethren. When it happens to your brother, it will look like it's happening to you. That's why I said, love one another and fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the love for the brethren. And the church in Philadelphia that operated that law, the Bible said there was a door open before them that could never be shut. That's a church of abundance, because they cannot lack. Everything we need today is not in heaven, it's with somebody. If we can love ourselves, the heritage will be galvanized and we will enjoy from it. But if we don't, at the end of the day, the thing will be available, but it will be out of our reach. Because love, a lack of love, have disconnected us. It looks simple from the beginning, but at the end, it's a big problem. Finally, okay, two more. Continuity in the word. One of the external evidences of salvation is that you continue in the word. As you begin to grow at different junctions of your life, different philosophies will come to inform your decision. You are growing, you didn't have authority over your life. You mature to a certain level. And then, these things are difficult, I'm telling you. But if you are saved, you will fight for it. When you want to marry, they will now tell you that, well, we know you are a pastor. Thank God for your life. We know you are a believer. That's what you say you are. But for this marriage to happen, the elders will bring their own philosophy. If you don't obey it, it won't work. And this matter, I've been like this for the past 100 years. Your great grandfathers did it. Your grandfather did it. Your father did it. You must do it. This is why your service to God should be so dogged that they will know you won't. I've passed through these junctions, different phases of my life. When I was about to name my son, they started bringing some names of my grandfathers. This one did this. This one did this. I laughed. Which grandfather? Who told you this boy came to live the life of that person? That man that served idols. Well, God told me the native name I gave my son, nobody had born it in my lineage. They don't bear this kind of name here. Well, it's of the family of God. They will force you. Where I come from, when a woman wants to get married, they will say every negative thing in a kola nut and they will drop it on the ground and tell her to carry it and eat. If you are not careful, you will continue in tradition. If you are not careful, you will continue in human philosophy. But if you are properly born again, if it's not in the word, you won't do it. And the people will know that you won't. It's not a joke. And when they see how dogged you are about it, even they will know. They will know that this matter, there's no, you don't bend. John 8:31. I'm telling you, the Christianity of many people have become weak because a point came in their lives, they continued in other things. People have compromised because of jobs, because they didn't continue in the world. People have compromised because of marriage, because they didn't continue in the world. People have compromised because of friendship, because they didn't continue in the world. The reason the path of a believer is narrow is not just because it was created narrow. It's because when you continue in the world, you will filter a lot of people and a lot of relationships from your life. But if it is because of the world, you will thank God you did. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. Discipleship is not a title. Discipleship is continuity in the word of God. Because many things we want to disciple you. The philosophies of your grandfathers, the opinions of your friends, the positions of compromising systems, we want to disciple you. Many times, you will lose many things. But if truly you are a disciple, you will suffer those losses, that the excellency of the knowledge of God will be made manifest through your life. The Christianity of old is many times stronger than our Christianity because they knew no compromise. They didn't have as much revelation as we do today. Most times when they come to church, they are preaching basic truths, but the kind of power that followed it was mind-blowing. Go back and listen to people like T. T.L. Osborne. Go back and listen to people like A.A. Allen. Go back and listen to some of these men that wrought terrible wonders. Some of them did not even as much as know speaking in tongues. They didn't have enough revelation yet. As much as to understand speaking in tongues, they didn't know it. But the kind of power that followed them. In our own generation, we don't only know about the Holy Spirit, we know about the third heaven. In fact, we can tell you about the rankings of the angel. We can tell you the different flavors and dimensions of angelic operation. But when we finish it, we will now come back and start begging God to heal a headache. Because compromise is too much. And because compromise is too much, there's no power. You want to know whether you are a true Christian? Make up your mind and say, it's only what the world say I will do. You'll be shocked how many friends you will lose in 2 months. You will be shocked how many problems you will have with family members. You will be so amazed. But it will save your life. When I went to the village, one of the men, and then I didn't even have as much faith as I do now. As much understanding as I do now. I didn't see enough power as I see now. One of the elders called me, and what they did do is they put charm in their finger, and then they will use that finger and break a kola nut and give you. They will break it, the charm will enter the kola nut. That man used that thing to kill 7 people in my house. When he gave me the kola nut, I told him, no, I don't eat kola nut. He said, I'm giving you something you refuse. I say, yes. The way I will answer you, you will remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We will not be careful to answer you in this matter. This one, we will not be careful. I say, yes, I don't. I've seen, if I share some things with you, this thing we started now, if I tell you the kind of things, somebody came and said, I should open this altar for something. That is not what God told me. I said, no, I won't. I will not. You will hear that I will not. The way you will hear it, you will know that this thing is powered by something. When you don't continue in the world, you will not be rugged. There will be too many gray areas in your life. There will be too many areas of compromise. How can the boy tell you, unless you sleep with me? He won't even dare say it. He won't dare. If he says that kind of thing, the relationship is over. It doesn't matter if you are 35. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't defy this one. How dare you? What do you think I am? Before he comes to you next time, he will invite people to beg. And even when he begs, you tell him you need to be seeing a counselor. You don't know how. See, after he dates 10 people, he will come back and say, this one is a wife. Because even the men that tell you they want to sleep with you, they are looking for the women that can say no. Because they have many women that will say yes. It's the one that say no they are looking for. When you continue in the world, you become a flame of fire. And a point will come, people will be careful before they talk to you. I was told that even Bishop Oedipo's friends are careful when they talk to him. You are careful. They were building the faith tabernacle, and the chief contractor they hired, he said they will build it in 1 year. The man said it's not possible. He said, you devil, get out. Contract has finished. When you meet, see, if they collide with you once, the next time they come, they will organize themselves. If they want to say something, they will say, I don't know if this one is in the Bible. But please check. Does the Bible allow this? They will become careful with you. That's how you live your life. You put yourself under the law of the world. And then anybody that comes around you knows that the only way it can remain with you is to be this. Did you know? Even the world system know. They say birds of a feather flock together. When you continue in the world, your path will be narrow. But you will be a holy man. You will be a holy man. God himself will beat his hand on his chest and say, have you considered my servant Job? you will be a holy man. The problem is that our generation, people don't even know the word. Before you talk of continuing in the world, all they know is the philosophy and the stories they heard. Somebody is talking, some people want to argue the Bible with you, they'll say, but this, they said this, they said that. It's a body. It's a body. Finally, fruit bearing. These are external evidences that you are born again. You can't claim you are born again and you don't produce fruit. It means you are fake. Tell somebody, if you are not producing fruit, you are fake. Because when your neighbors, your friends, your colleagues see the light in you, they will follow you. We were on the prayer platform, and my sister Nessa shared the testimony that those days when she was much younger, they lived in a compound where there was an egg and car man. You know, it's only Christians that are not dogged with their faith. He said, one man observed this guy so much and said, no, whatever you are worshiping, I want to worship him. Your life is too straight. If your Christianity is true, it will attract people. One, two, three people can follow you. No true Christian is barren. For one whole year, you didn't lead anybody to Christ. Nobody followed you to where you worship. Abba. Your light has turned to darkness. Your light has turned to darkness. Meanwhile, you are going to places because the life of other people is drawing you. How come your own life can't draw anybody? It means something is wrong. When you truly begin to burn and there's an external evidence in your Christianity, those who walk with you will follow you to where you are going to. Those who live in your neighborhood will follow you. And if they don't notice, you will meet them and win them to the kingdom. Our Christianity today is self-centered. That's why it's hard for us to step out and win souls. The only thing we are interested in is the prophecies and the declaration. Amen, amen, amen. Sometimes when you say in the name of Jesus, they will say, amen. If they say amen two times, they will lose their voice. Because of the depth of their selfishness. But you say, go win a soul. For we are. Till December, they will tell you, Kai, I don't know, this year things were so tight. Things were so tight, and you have spoken to at least 100,000 people. How come no one was afflicted with your faith? It means your faith is a lie. Jesus said, if your Christianity is true, it will bear fruit. Matthew 7:16-20. Matthew 28:18-20. This gospel of the kingdom. If you have it, you must preach it. He said, go into all the worlds and disciple all nations. Go into all the worlds and disciple all nations. He said, you are the light of the world, a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. How come you are hidden? It means your faith has no external evidence. If your faith has external evidences, it will begin to affect people. You can't be quiet about it. In John chapter 4, the woman that had five husbands met Jesus once. The next thing, she won the whole city. Because the encounter was real and genuine. A woman that had five husbands, she didn't go to a Bible school. She met Jesus, she won a city. You claim you have been walking with Jesus for 10 years. And your Christianity have not won five people. Those days they used to tell us, you are not in church unless when you look around, you can see at least five people that are in church because of you. You look around, there's nobody there because of you, there's problem. It means you are not bearing fruit, you are barren. And you know barrenness is an affliction. Have you seen a barren woman before? She has no peace. You are just not aware in the spirit because nobody has told you. In Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 to 3, he said, they that win souls, they are wise. In verse 3 particularly, he said, they shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. So, there is a part of your glory that is tied to your fruit bearing. That means there is a glory in your life that will not manifest until you start bearing fruit. The moment you start bearing fruit, there is a glory about you that will begin to suddenly manifest that even you did not know was there. Because they that win souls, they will shine like the brightness of the heavens. You must bear fruit. You must. Internal evidences and external evidences of salvation. To round up, there are three oppositions to your salvation. And you know, I've taught you before that salvation is not new birth. New birth is to accept Christ and be regenerated. Salvation is both regeneration, transformation, and transubstantiation. So salvation is a process, right? So there are factors that oppose your salvation. Number one is carnal mindedness. When you are carnally minded, these things I have enumerated will be the hardest thing for you to do. You will never be able to do them because you are what you think. The summation of your life is your mindset. So if your mindset is wrong, listen, nobody is busy. We just have time for different things. If your mindset is corrected, you will be shocked that you suddenly have time for prayer meeting. If your mindset is corrected, you will be shocked that you suddenly have time for evangelism. You are not evangelizing and you are not bearing fruit, not because you are busy. I can tell you there are many bank managers that are dogged soul winners. Bank managers. One of my followers is a bank manager. Sometimes the target they give her is 1 billion. 1 billion for a season. So she has to get marketers, get this, put people under pressure to get partners. Even at that, she has time for prayer meeting and she's a soul winner. I know professors that are soul winners. Professors that are soul winners. So you are not winning souls and you are not barren, not because you are busy. It's a testimony of your mind. When a man is carnally minded, he doesn't have time for the things of the spirit. Have you not checked our society in recent times? Most of the people who called you to gossip people, you will hardly hear them call you and say, this verse of the Bible, have you seen it? But in 1 month, they can tell you about 5 people who either failed or did something wrong. They are so excited about gossip and about failure. Anything that affects somebody negatively, they can tell it on a mountaintop. But they can't remember when they used Jesus to afflict somebody. Because it's not about the time. It's not even about inspiration. The inspiration is there, but the mind is wrong. And because the mind is wrong, the mind determines the kind of inspiration that is allowed. If you can talk to somebody about a job, if you can talk to somebody about something somebody else did, then you're already guilty not speaking about Jesus Christ. Too many barren Christians. And I'm not talking about preaching on a platform. No. I'm not talking about preaching on a platform. I'm talking about your life physically and visibly impacting people on a daily basis. I remembered when this revelation hit my spirit about 10 years ago. If you check my phone, you see Okada Matthew, Okada John, Okada Nathaniel. You can't pick me on a bike for 10 minutes and I've not warned you. The moment the bike man is dropping me, you see their hand on their chest. I must afflict your heart. I must put something there. I will choke you with a body. Sometimes I just, you know, those days we were corrosive. I will tell them about the layers of hair. Hair fire. Hair. If I talk to you about hair fire, you will not sleep. Oh. Hey, eventually I learned that the love of God is stronger than condemnation. If not, if I preach about hair here, even those of you who are born again, you will kneel down and start weeping. I will tell them about hair. When I finish, they want to escape. Praise God. The things you love and the things you prioritize are a product of your mindset. And so when a man is carnally minded, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 14, from verse 12, he said, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He said, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So until God touches their mind, there is no way it will make sense to them. When you are talking about it, they are indifferent because of the mindset. So when you want to truly help people, you've got to deal with their minds first. If carnal mindedness is not changed or altered, the person cannot be helped. Now, there are two ways of dealing with carnal mindedness. Number one is to take your thoughts to captivity. Because this is not just I believe this, I believe that. This is bringing your mind where you want it to be. And the way to do it is to take your thought. Because your thought is what shapes your mind. So when you bring your thought to captivity, eventually your mind will be changed. And the Bible taught us how to bring our thought to captivity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 3 to verse 5, it began to show us what to do to bring your thought under captivity. To determine how you think. To shape how you think. He said, casting down imagination and every high standing thing that upholds itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity all things to the obedience of Christ, so that when your obedience is accomplished, you will avenge other disobedience. So what do? Anything you know God wants you to do, you begin to talk it to yourself. As you talk it to yourself, you are creating a thought pattern for yourself. And anything God does not want, and you find yourself liking it and doing it, the moment the thought comes, you talk it down. So you talk God into yourself, and you talk down what is not God. So you can wake up, you know you need to pray. As simple as it is, but you are feeling sleepy. You now tell yourself, I'm not a slave of sleep. I stand up when I want. I pray when I want. Sleep have no dominion over me. As you say it after a while, you will discover that the energy level will change. You want to go out for soul winning. You have written it down that on Thursday, 4 p.m., I must go and win a soul. When it's getting to 4, you are feeling tired. You tell yourself, by 4, this body must obey the plan. You must go out to win souls. Nothing will stop you because I'm a soul winner. I must receive the reward of winning soul. You do that for 2 weeks, you'll be shocked. Suddenly, when it's about to be 4, even when you are sleeping, you will wake up. Why? Because you have reprogrammed yourself. You have put in new data and you have deleted old data. So the new data that is in your mind will give you a new mindset. You may be somebody that is struggling with sin. Don't worry. Just begin to tell yourself you are the righteousness of God. Tell yourself you live above sin. Tell yourself your body does not dictate to you. And see what happens to you after 2 months. You will be shocked that the reason you are a slave of those things you are doing is because the movie forced it on you. The environment forced it on you. You are not doing it because that's what you originally wanted to do. You are doing it because those are the dominant data in your mind. So it has become your mindset. When you delete those data by talking them down and impute new data, you will be rebranded. That's the first thing to do. You take your thought captive. You can arrest your thought. When fear is coming, catch it. I don't fear. Fear is of the devil. I have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God makes me as bold as a lion. You'll be shocked. After a few minutes, it will dissipate. I'm telling you this. These things are so real. When you start doing them, you'll be shocked. One day, I woke up to pray. Many years ago now. And I was blasting in tongues in my room. The whole house was vibrating. After a while, I don't know if a spirit, a demon came there. Suddenly, everywhere sounded quiet. And it looked as if my voice was echoing into eternity. It just dawned on me that my voice was the only voice in the neighborhood. And for a moment, it felt as if I was in a stadium naked. And everybody was looking at me like this. I became afraid. Quickly, I lowered my voice. I said, Jesus, what is happening here? Before I knew what was happening, my hair stood. I became so afraid as if there were eyes on the wall looking at me. Goosebumps everywhere. Huh? What's happening here? Suddenly I looked around. I wanted to on every light because every corner in my room looked as if something was standing. What is going on here? I will look to the left and try to examine. When did I move from praying in tongue to examining the corners of the room? Because fear is a journey. It looked as if I was empty. After a while, it looked as if eyes were looking at me. After a while, it looked as if something was standing there. I quickly on the light. The moment I on the light and the darkness dispersed, it now looked as if some people were walking around the house. My mind was creating images. I almost died. And I just remembered somewhere that fear brings torment. The moment the scripture came, I shouted, I refused to be afraid. As I began to talk those bold utterances, that atmosphere lifted. I now knew that your mind is a gate. You allow it, it looks like an impression. After a while, real spirits will enter there. That's why anything you want to do, don't just make resolution. Begin to program your mind. When you want to pray, just take time first. Take time and program yourself. Tell yourself you will go on a 90 days of prayer, 3 hours every day. Tell yourself on the 90th day, you will do this, you will do that. As you program yourself well enough and you begin that journey, energy will keep coming at different level. And you will discover you will do it and you will want to do it again. Your mindset is powerful. But the way to sustain the right mindset is to arrest your thoughts. Delete what ought not to be there and plant what you need to see. Hope you know there are many people who are failing in business, not because they are not smart. Because they think every business they do, they will fail. And even when they eventually step out, they fail. Because their mindset and their programming is wrong. Before you can get it done, you have to reprogram yourself first. That's why I said, taking your thoughts into captivity. God knows how you walk. He created you. He created you. Somebody here, we have a 2 weeks timetable of mental reprogramming. Those things that always throw you down, you will sit down and you begin to talk to yourself. How that you have won over them. How that you have conquered them. How they cannot walk in you anymore. And when you uproot, you will take time to plant. And tell yourself how that you can do this, you can do that, you can do that. You will not feel anything. It will be so boring. But after 2 weeks, you will discover that new data has entered your mind and you have been reprogrammed. You will go out when you encounter circumstances, your responses will be different. And you will be shocked. What happened? It was a deliberate thing. Number two is to renew your mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2. In fact, from verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you, dearly beloved, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, this is your reasonable offering. He now went further. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is how you deal with carnal mindedness. There used to be a time of my life where all my thoughts were negative. All my thoughts were negative. It's either I am thinking fear, or I'm thinking a pornographic thought, or I'm thinking something wrong. This thing was such an assault on my mind. What is going on? I'd watch movies. I'd heard gist. I'd heard stories. And those things kept eating the energy of my soul. And the Holy Ghost taught me something. He said, if you try to stop, you can't. The more you try, the more you sink. It's just like standing in a muddy ground. If you are in a muddy environment, just look for something like a rope. Hold it and draw yourself out. If you want to struggle, every energy you put in will take you deeper. You don't struggle in a muddy ground. You look for external help. And the Holy Ghost taught me what to do. He will carry a whole chapter and say, memorize this chapter. And I will carry the scripture. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. There is a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. He was not the light, but he came that through him that all men may see the light. He said the Word was made by Him. He came into the world, although the world was made by Him, but the world received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. I will just be reciting this scripture. I will just be reciting it. When I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 chapters, I'll be sleeping. The thing will be playing in my head. What happened? I will wake up in the morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The scriptures began to play in my head like a radio. After a while, I will now tell myself, wait, for 3 months, I've not taught this thing. I've forgotten them. My head was formatted. Many people are struggling with it. You will sink. You will sink. See, when I did it for a long time, the Lord now told me to add music. So everywhere I am, I'm playing a song. I'm playing a song. A point came when the moment I sit on a bike, music will play my brain until I get to my destination. If I wake up, sometimes I'm waking up, a song is playing so loud in my ear. And a point came where even the songs I didn't listen to, I started hearing them. And I will hear a song, I'll go and look for it on YouTube. And I will play the song. The Holy Ghost visited my mind. Because your mind can be renewed. Don't worry about what the devil planted there. Forget it. You begin to plant another thing. And see what happens to you after 3 months. You will be shocked. You will be shocked. That's what Paul meant. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why is it so? Because a carnal mind, we fight the protocol of salvation. This is why many people are in one location for 10 years. They want to serve God, but they can't. They don't know why. They can't. They have tried their best. Brothers, stop trying your best, because your best is not good enough. If your best were good enough, you wouldn't need a savior. Your best is not good enough. Are you struggling with something? Is your mind polluted? Go carry Psalm 23, carry Psalm 91, carry, just pick some strong scripture. Be reciting it. When you recite it for 1 week, the way those scriptures will hit into your soul, it will eat your soul up. A point will come, you can't think anything. It will dominate you. That's a secret, and it's Paul that taught the body of Christ. He said, be not conformed to this world. You are conformed to this world because your mind is not renewed. Your mind is not. If your mind is renewed, you will detach from the world system. Number 2, enemy of salvation is the world itself. The spirit of the world is what we call worldliness. There are many people who want to serve God, but they love this present age. And because they love this present age, they draw energy from this age, and the energy chokes the energy of God. Every cloth Davido wears, that's the cloth you want to wear. Even though you don't have the money, you buy the fake. If tomorrow they are putting trousers here, the next thing you see Victor, you see Michael, you see Nathaniel, you see James, his trouser is here. And he's wearing a big white canvas with a shirt. He's walking like this. Hey, bro, what's up now? Even his voice changes. When he's talking, he dims the voice. Hey, man, how far now? What did it happen? You love this present world. You think you are mimicking somebody. The energy that powers those people will begin to flow into you. You just begin to barb a particular haircut for a long time. Or you start talking in a certain way, or you start dressing in a certain way, and it attacks your prayer life. And you are wondering, what happened? I can't pray anymore. You are worldly. It's a friendship with the world is enmity with God. He said, love not the world. 1 John 2:15. He said, they that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. A friend of mine, we were going somewhere, he was wearing suit. The trouser of the suit was like tight. He so slim the trouser, he couldn't wear. The trouser of the suit was like this. And then the suit was here. Do they sag suit too? The suit was here, and then he wore a shirt. The tie he wore was like The tie was hanging, and then he wore the suit. Hey man, what's up, man? How you doing, my brother? Will you kill yourself? And then the same person says he wants to serve God. You can't. The reason is because when you become worldly, the prince of this world will now blind your heart. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. There is a blinding technology that the prince of this world put on your eyes. There was a time when, in fact, in recent time, it's even pathetic. I saw a gospel musician worshipping on a global music concert. Global. And he was dancing and doing like this. While he was worshipping. After a while, I started doing like this. I say, what kind of worship? They say, no. Now he choked me. He choked. What is he choke? It's a technology from the world. Now everybody is dancing in church like this. It's the same dance in the club. Oh. So if you lower the volume and we stop hearing what is happening, you won't tell the difference between a club and a church. And after you dance like this, you say you want to see an encounter. Which encounter? You have already had your encounter. Because the person who brought that downstep that is leading you, that's your encounter. It looks simple. But this is why many are weak. Their temperature in the spirit is weak. Because they are inspired by the world system. They love the world system. In fact, nowadays we wait for something to happen in the world so that we'll take dressing. You are hearing a music beating and you, the next thing, the whole beat, you go and check, is the beat of whiskey. Do you know the demon that gave you? We don't know why we are weak. It says if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. These are the things that fight our salvation. We can cast demons out of the church, but if the world enter the church, we are in trouble. If the world enter the church, we are in trouble. I'm not against excellence. I'm not against excitement. Many senior ministers now know what is happening. They didn't know before. They are following their choir members. They are dancing. They don't know that that thing they are doing is from a demonic hub. Now that they know that most of their music leaders are following garbage, they have now come to sanitize their altar. Because they don't know why suddenly some of the things that used to happen on the altar began to die. You are worshipping and you are doing like this. If another trend starts in the club next week, on Sunday, you will see a modern church, a new generation church. And they are doing it. They are doing it. We will be excited, but we will not be spiritual. It's called worldliness. How do you deal with worldliness? Number one, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. He says, touch not the unclean thing. Touch not. That's how you deal with it. He said, they that bear the vessels of God, they must be clean. Touch not. It's in Isaiah 52, verse 11. Touch not. I'm not saying don't be modest. Don't go and carry your beers like John the Baptist. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying stop combing your hair because you don't want to cut. Cut your hair, look clean. But don't be inspired and don't model your life after a secular person. That's what I'm talking about. In recent times, there's what they call the beard gang. They will leave their beard for seven moms. They won't touch it. Listen, if you like keeping your beard, that's your style, it's good. But if you are now keeping your beard because of beard gang, you are lost. That's what I'm saying. Because it's in two faces. The world can inspire us and the world can enslave us. You can choose to dress the way you want, modest, be clean. If you want your trouser to be narrow, that's clean. That's how you like it. It's beautiful. But if your trouser becomes a tight, because that's what's raining, you are lost. That's what I'm talking about. You can barb a punk if you want to barb a punk, if you want to keep your hair. That's beautiful. But if you are keeping a punk, because a secular musician is now keeping a punk and everybody is following him, you are lost. That's what I'm saying. And so when you know this, you will become sensitive and you will keep your guard. Touch not the unclean thing. Touch not. He said, they that bear the vessels of God, they must be clean. Because when you start touching it, your fire will begin to go down. You won't know why. Your love for God will start dying. Your prayer life will start dying. Your desire to read the word of God will start dying. You will know you are not sinning, but you will still know that you are dying. What is wrong? You have loved the world. And because you have loved the world, the love of the Father have left your heart. That's how it works. Number two, how do you deal with the world system or the worldly people? Disciple them. Tell them the truth the way it is. The highest partner in your church can be the one wrong. Tell him the truth. It's better he leaves and stop partnering. But that word you told him will be a seed in his heart. He may hate you when you are saying it, but when he goes to lie down, he won't be able to sleep. Because he can fight you. He can't fight the word. That word will fight him from inside. He will roll like this. He will not be able to. You would have saved the soul. He may stop partnering. Your finances may go down. But you have won a soul to Christ. And that's more important than having money to do projects that are not necessary. Because when your resources go down, you think well. Ah, hey. Hey, yeah. You know what's raining now? When people are in the club, they hold their iPhones like this and they are recording their dance and they are streaming online. When you come to church now, the moment we start dancing, because the same people that go to club are the ones that come to church. When you see them, stop them. If they like, they should stop coming. Disciple 12 people that know Jesus. God will congratulate you. You may have 1 million people that are godless. They will not add anything to the kingdom. See, the body of Christ is not discipling people anymore because it's hard. To tell people the truth is difficult. When you say it, it will pain them. They will hate you. They will stop coming. When there are 12 of you, gather yourself, pray in tongues, go home. You are making progress. Your progress is not the number. In Matthew 28 verse 18, it says, go into all the world. Disciple all nations. Teaching them all that you have learned from me. You say, lo, I am with you always. The world is not our mentor. We are not mentored by the world. The Bible said in Isaiah 55 verse 11, it said, when you go out, it said, the tree of the field will clap. In Obadiah 1:21, it says, saviors shall come out of Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau. We are supposed to teach the world how to live their lives. It's not Christian taking down their trousers. We should teach the world how to take up their trousers. Things turn the other way around and we become powerless and helpless. The world has entered the church. That's why things go wrong. A pastor will come to church, his watch is Gucci, his shirt is Gucci, his trouser is Gucci, his shoe is Gucci. That's not a problem. The problem is that the man is preaching He puts his hand like this. He wants you to see the Gucci watch. When he finishes, he turns the shirt. You just say, oh, that's the bearer of the oracles of God. Ha! That's the carrier of the oracles of God. He has become a Gucci ambassador. Even when they are online doing live stream, somebody will struggle for his belt to show. He will sit down. He will do that. No, God. And then he will put one iPhone here, put another iPhone here, put another one here. He wants you to see the camera of the iPhone so that you will know it's the latest iPhone. The same priority of the world system. That's what man of God is doing. He will put his watch like this so you know there is diamond crest on it. And then when he's talking, you know, when God wants to help you, it's a lie. It's not when God wants to help you. He wants this thing to be on camera. Like I was saying the last time, you know, his belt. He wants you to see the belt. Worldliness everywhere. He will talk, talk, and put his chain. Now, when ladies wear shirt on jean, they must pack the shirt and choke here. Why? Because they want you to see the shape. It's either the shirt is on their tummy, or they will pack the whole shirt from the back and hang it. Why are you talking? If you want to talk in, talk in. If you don't want to talk in, then put the shirt down. They want you to see the size of their buttocks. So they will, oh Jesus. And then somebody is coming to lead choir ministration. He's putting the, it's the same thing. They picked it from the gutters. And nobody can stand and say, restore. But here comes the rise of the carpenters. We will say it as it is. Because the horn that scattered Jerusalem and Judah is the one we have come to cut off. We will cut it off. Beauty is not nakedness. Beauty is the glory that God puts on a woman. And you can be decent and beautiful. That Babylonian intelligence that makes you feel until you are naked, you are not attractive. We will fight it out of our midst. Some people come to worship, to lead worship, and they are singing, they are doing like this. They think they are rapping. It's Eminem. When I find it, you will not come up again for 1 month. You will be purged first. See, when you want to do the job of a carpenter, you will not be many. Because some will come for 1 day, they will never come again. But when you finish, anybody that comes out of that camp will be a warrior. One man can take a city because he heard truth. He submitted to truth and truth invigorated him. Our world is loose. The church that should disciple the world, our candlesticks are going off. Because we are the light of the territory. But we have exchanged our light for darkness. The third enemy of salvation is Satan himself. And of course, you know what Satan does. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, he said he blinds the heart of the believers and so they are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. His job is to disconnect you from what you have in God. The way to deal with Satan is twofold. Number one is to submit to God. In James 4 7, he said, submit to God. 1 Peter 5, 8, submit to God. You can't fight Satan. Brother, the man is skillful. The way you begin your battle with the devil is to submit to God first. That's why I said when your obedience is fulfilled, that's when you avenge disobedience. If you are not submitted to God, they will kill you. You can't be lying and say you are dealing with principalities. You can't be fornicating and say you are dealing with principalities. You must first of all submit to God. He said, when you submit to God, then the second thing is you resist him. He said, any submitted man who resists the devil will flee from him. There are people the devil is running away from today. Because they are not just resisting him. They are first of all submitted. And now that they are submitted, they are resisting the devil. Do you know how to submit to God? You submit to God through obedience. You obey his voice. Whatever he tells you to do, you do. You submit to God by consciously staying under his atmosphere. He said, they that dwell under the secret place, dwell in the secret place of the Most High, abides under the shadow of the Almighty. So there is something you do consciously by approaching his presence and staying there, or by obeying every command he gives you. We have too many people that the word of God means nothing to them. God say, take a fast. They say, wait, next month. God say, give this money you have. They say, no, that's all I have. When you continue like that, the day you want to contend with the devil, you will see how helpless you are. Because there's an evil day for every man. Those who submit to God, their evil days become their day of manifestation. Because when the devil comes, what the devil throw at them becomes what lifts them up. But those who don't submit to God, the evil day is the day of mayhem. It will not be a day of disadvantage for you. Because as you master how to submit to God, what the devil meant evil for you, God will turn it around for your good. So, today again, I'm not able to deal with new creation. So change the topic of the message to salvation, part 5. Yeah. To do this evening, there are some things that have been ingrained in your mind that he wants to uproot. There's a reprogramming God wants to do. Some people have been tied by certain things. God wants to break them. It's a mental thing. He wants to remove those things and purify your soul. In the name of Jesus, every area of your life where there was compromise, today receive the power to live above it. The places the devil trapped you before now, those pegs are uprooted in the name of Jesus. The power to live right and to keep pace with the Holy Ghost, receive it in the name of Jesus. Yours will be a testimony of righteousness. Yours will be a testimony of glory. Yours will be a testimony of holy living. Yours will be a testimony of power in the name of Jesus. Everything that went wrong with your mindset, the anointing of God's Spirit comes to correct it now. The anointing of God's Spirit. The anointing of God's Spirit comes to correct it. A new version of you emerges from tonight. That one that was enslaved, liberty comes to you now. In the name of Jesus. You will no longer walk in darkness, but you will walk in light. Everywhere things went wrong, everywhere you were helpless in the hands of the devil, in the hands of the systems and the elements of this age, receive the power for deliverance. Men will see God in you. They will see God in you. You will not only bear the name and the title of a Christian, they will see God in you. You will be an effulgence and a bright expression of the life and the nature of God. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you. And the Lord give you peace. Your going out and your coming in is blessed. None of your steps shall slide. Every righteous thing you do is commanded to prosper. In this month you are preserved. In this month you are enlarged. In this month you are increased. In the name of Jesus. There is a grace for speed that you will enjoy this month. The things you did before now, you will do it and have a multiplied result. In the name of Jesus. You will be 10 times better than you were. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The new version of you emerges from this month. The new victory story of you emerges from this month. The new dimension of you emerges from this month. Every success story about you for the next phase is activated in this month. In the name of Jesus. The power of the Holy Ghost, you will walk with it this month. You will not only walk by your competence. You will not only walk by your confidence. You will not only walk by your experience. But in this month, you will walk by the anointing. You will eat by the anointing. You will walk by the anointing. You will interact by the anointing. There will be a supernatural element about you in this month and beyond. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.